sponge. And let me tell you something right now, man. You don't need something extra special or a special day to send flowers. In fact, be that cool guy that you maybe are or want to be and go to proflowers.com and look at the huge selection of bouquets starting as low as $19.99. Plus, you always get a free glass vase when you type in the password Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. I've probably sent, I don't know, 30 or 40 things from ProFlowers this past year. ProFlowers.com. They have great specials every week, so don't miss out. And here's what I want you to do to get these specials and a free glass vase. Call 1-800-PROFLOWERS and mention me, Bubba, or go to ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in the word B-U-B-B-A. I just go to ProFlowers.com. I click on the microphone and I type myself in, B-U-B-B-A. Don't miss out on these incredible deals. You don't need a special day. Just out of nowhere, send your special loved one some flowers. ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner. Type in B-U-B-B-A and get all kinds of cool stuff. ProFlowers.com. Order now.
Fellas, everybody loves the freedom of choice, right? You want to pick your own brand of beer. What's for dinner? Even tonight's girlfriend. Well, for a limited time only, AdamandEve.com will let you pick three free adult DVDs with your order. Go to AdamandEve.com and order almost any one item at 50% off. Choose a new adult toy, lube, or almost anything from over 18,000 adult products. Then at checkout, enter offer code BTLS, and you'll get to choose three free adult DVDs. That's right, you get to choose your own DVDs, plus receive a free mystery gift and free shipping on your entire order. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Choose your free DVDs after you order one item at 50% off. Just type BTLS for the offer code upon checkout, and you'll also get a free extra gift and free shipping. Just use offer code BTLS at AdamandEve.com.
Feeling run down? Tired of the same old funky tasting energy drinks? Then conquer the night and take on the day with Fiend, spelled F-E-I-N. Just pour it in your favorite drink and go. Fiend is all natural, pure energy, and is tasteless with no sugars, no carbs, no calories, and no crash. Transform any beverage into an energy drink with Fiend. Order now at GetFiend.com or call toll-free 1-800-506-FEIN. Anytime you need more energy, before a night out, after lunch, at the gym, prior to a long study session, whenever you need a boost, you need Fiend. What's Fiend's secret? It uses a different form of caffeine not found in any other energy drink. Order now by calling 1-800-506-FEIN. That's 1-800-506-3346. Or order online at GetFiend.com. Fiend, it's not your ordinary energy supplement.
One website to rule them all.
You must understand, the survival of the free world is at stake.
News, videos, and more. BTLS.com.
Brought to you by Bubba Army Radio Channel 2. RadioIO.com. The man who brings you the shit that really fucking matters. That's right, Dangerous Conversations by The Ledge and his wonderful team that will bring you the shit that you want to talk about. And some shit you didn't even know you want to talk about. Give him a call at 1-888-69-BUBBA. The shit that really matters.
So much for that promo.
Yeah, I got to change that one.
Yeah, we changed our phone number. So we'll cut that phone number out. But yeah, thanks again. I know they're on hold. We'll get to them in about 30 seconds. Desi. Doyen is her name, Green News Report. That's at Green News Report. You can follow her on Twitter right there, and you can link up with Brad Friedman at bradblog.com, at the Brad Blog, and, of course, Mark Morano, whose website is Climate Depot. He's also done a documentary. Of course, it's a heated discussion, and I have no problems with people bumping heads on ideologies. I'm not a fan of ideologies, and that's why I'm not a fan of them. But at the same time, I don't want to squash your passion. I know you guys are listening to me on hold, but it's my job to direct the program here. It's my job to try to get as much information to the listeners' ears. And when three people are talking at the same time, nobody's going to hear anything. And that's my gig. So, Mark, let's bring Mark on real quick. Mark, you still there, buddy?
I am still there.
Okay. I just, you know, I'm sorry I got heated with you, but you have to understand this is how I do my radio show, which you are a guest on right now.
Understood. Now, you do like to use a lot of foul language.
Yeah, Well, we do foul language here, Mark, because it's an uncensored radio show. And you know what's foul? You know what's obscene, Mark? War, pestilence, and disease, not language.
Sure.
Okay? Cool. All right, let's get Desi and Brad back on. Desi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, and Brad, yeah, I get a little spicy once in a while, but that's okay. Hey, listen, we haven't heard from Brad in a while. Brad, do you want to jump in, or you just wanted to go back and forth with them?
No, actually, there was a couple of things, and I should point out that our reports, that the reports that Desi and I do, you can listen, it's a nationally syndicated radio feature called the Green News Report. You can get those at greennews.bradblog.com.
Perfect.
But yeah, no, I was enjoying listening to it, and I jotted down a couple of notes that I wanted to ask you about. Actually, Scott, you and I, we can talk about the ice cores. You said that they showed that the globe has been warming like this in the past. Well, it certainly has warmed. I don't believe that it has ever warmed as fast as we're seeing now. But we can get into that at another time, because really what I wanted to get to with Mark, you know, one point I want to hit. He did say that all kinds of photos, and this is why you have to be careful about, you know, anybody. Please be careful about me. Don't, you know, take my word for anything. Make me prove it. Mark said during one of his rants there that all the scientists back in the 70s were saying that the globe was cooling. That is simply not true. There was one scientist, or rather one scientific report, that warned that there could be cooling if something was not done about acid rain. And something, in fact, was done about acid rain when Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. instituted essentially a cap-and-trade policy that by and large put an end to acid rain. But to say that, you know, oh, all the scientists just 30 years ago were saying that the globe was cooling, that just utter nonsense, to be frank. Now, here's where I really wanted to go with this. Scott, in the past, even last week when we were going back and forth about this, you said, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's follow the money. And maybe Mark Morano can enlighten us here. I have a couple of questions along those lines for Mark. Mark, who funds Climate Depot, your website?
85-87% individual donations. The rest of it may be some kind of industry interest. We have our 990 forms available online. There's been New York Times has written about it. And I will say this.
Well, you can just tell me.
I don't even know.
Who funds it?
I mean, I don't know. That CFACT is my parent company. And these are the individual donations is what drives us.
See, basically 85% is individual money, and the 15% you're not sure of, is that?
Well, 15% could be, the larger groups can be industry and other things like that.
Okay. Go ahead, Brad.
What industry?
Well, I don't even know. I mean,
I don't know
before
about
I
that.
Got here, I've heard ExxonMobil was one of the funders. Is your whole Heartland controversy right now?
I'm losing points.
What's that?
I said, when you don't know who's giving you money, you're losing points.
I really don't look at it. I mean, we're individual donors, and that's the main thing. And I look at it when I work for Inhofe, and I say this: are you industry funded? And the answer is, you know, how much industry funding do you get? The simple answer is not enough. When you look at what's at stake for industry, this Heartland controversy right now, someone actually wrote, which I have up at Climate Depot, if oil companies are really concerned about protecting themselves, why aren't they giving hundreds of billions to skeptical groups? Instead, they're giving paltry sums, and by many accounts, they're giving more to green groups than groups that would be opposed to the so-called green agenda. So it's not something I shy away from at all. I say, why aren't they giving a lot more? And why are we relying on 85% individual donations and not a lot more from the other end?
Well, you know, you got to do a better job of raising your money. Brad, go ahead with your next question. Go ahead.
Tens of millions of dollars from the industry, we're talking about the fossil fuel industry, is not exactly paltry, and compared to the amount of money that's going to those who oppose it, I'm shocked you call it paltry. What is your position at the Climate Depot?
You know, the Union of Concerned Scientists, and this was on NBC News, gave anywhere from 15 to 19 million to groups skeptical of global warming over 2 decades. One United States Department of Agriculture farm grant of 20 million to study global warming and farm odors exceeded all the money ExxonMobil was ever accused of giving by their harshest critic. And Al Gore alone pledged to spend $300 million a year. Estimates are up to $80 billion have gone.
What is your position?
Like
what is your position at Climate Depot
over the same time?
Hang on a second,
billion
Brad.
With a B, and you're talking maybe tens of millions on the other side. It's laughable.
Just Brad, go ahead, Brad. He's now listening.
What is your position at Climate Depot?
What do you
your
mean?
Website?
Position mean my title? What do you mean?
Sure.
I'm the executive editor. correspondent.
Executive. So your executive editor, did you found Climate Depot?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's an offshoot of Committee for Constructive Tomorrow. Or, you know, that's my parent company, so I'm a spawn or an arm of it.
Okay.
You founded Climate Depot. You're the executive editor. You have no idea where your funding comes from. We're supposed to believe. Okay. That seems questionable. I wouldn't run an organization that I didn't know who was paying for me. But, you know, Scott has talked about, A, following the money, and, B, before the break, he talked about ideologies. Let me make clear that Desi and I, we have no agenda here. We have no funding here, for that matter.
Good point.
And if we had convincing science to back up what you were saying and what I believe that ExxonMobil and the fossil fuel industry is paying you millions of dollars for, if we had the evidence to back that up, I would have no problem reporting that. So, if you want to follow the money, Scott, please do here follow the money to figure out who really has an agenda, who really has an ideology, and who doesn't. Mark mentioned the Heartland Institute. How much money do you receive, either personally or your companies, from the Heartland Institute?
I think I receive a speaker's fee. I think I got $700 last year, and the year before that, I think it was $1,000, something like that, for speaking fee that covers your, you know, travel, and they actually give you a hotel and travel and give you the speaking fee.
Mark, what's the name of your documentary?
On the Amazon. It's called Amazon Rainforest Clearcutting the Myths.
Okay, and who funded that?
That was funded primarily by the executive editor at the time, a wealthy individual named Ralph Hofstetter at the time. And
okay.
He's still around. And most of this stuff, people always like to think it's like some sinister industry behind the scenes. Most of this stuff is funded by wealthy, I hate to say older, but older people. You have people in their retirement age who like to fund a lot of think tanks. And that's the same on a lot of this is both sides. Unless you're, a grassroots lobbying organization that's dealing with hot button issues and getting a lot of funding from small groups. But, you know, this is, we're not a lobbying organization. I'm not a lobbyist. I'm not a registered lobbyist. I don't lobby. It's a think tank. And I'm actually more of a journalist in the sense that I cover news stuff as opposed to get involved in any kind of legislation. I never get involved in legislation.
You know, guys, Brad and Mark and Desi, you know, I looked at documentaries on both sides of this, and I saw one of the anomalies that made me nervous, and I want to go to Desi, and then we'll go back to you guys in a second, was on both sides of the so-called lists of scientists, in other words, the deniers and the claimers, the list was made up of, and you guys kind of went through that earlier on in your arguments back and forth of, you know, your scientists were meteorologists and your meteorologists were high schoolers and those high schoolers were junior high idiots.
My dad could beat up your dad.
And there seems to be there seems to be a problem with the amount of so-called experts, because it seems like my list is bigger than your list, but then when you look at the list, it's whittled down to maybe 50% of what it really is claimed to be. Desi, go ahead and defend some of the people that you have either read about or heard about that are backing what you're saying, and then we'll go back to Brad and Mark. Go ahead, Desi.
Okay, backing what I'm saying would be the climate scientists, and most of the rules. I think it's every major research organization in the entire world, every scientific organization in the entire world, and the scientific academies of every major industrialized country all basically say the same thing, that, you know, the globe is warming and that they believe that human activities are responsible for at least a portion of that change. You know, climate doesn't change unless something forces it to change. It's changed in the past. It will change in the future when something forces it to change. And they're all saying that humans are the factor that's forcing it to change. Now, faster than any of the old geological processes made it change. We've had change in millions of years time scale in the past, but now it's changing in a matter of decades. So that's kind of a problem. Mark is very good at what we call the Gish Gallop, which is a debating technique where you throw out a lot of stuff all at once. Mm-hmm. You know, you told me to make my list of arguments for him, I'd have to have a transcript in order to be able to unpack all of that in there. I'll just say that when he refers to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, that's run by the UN, those are not UN scientists. They are people that are scientists that work for other organizations, other scientific organizations, who have gathered together to do a survey of the current scientific literature. And the last IPCC report, you know, that closed in 2005. So there's been another 7 years worth of scientific inquiry and literature and study that has come out since then, and more satellites have gone up. We've learned a lot more about all the different aspects. So, you know, these aren't UN scientists. These are NASA scientists. These are NOAA scientists. These are scientists from all over the world. And, you know, again, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physicist. So I just tend to go with what the experts say, people who have spent their lives and decades studying this stuff. And when the majority of them, the vast, and let me emphasize, the vast majority of them all say there's something wrong going on, we seem to be affecting this, and it can have extremely catastrophic consequences if we do nothing about it, if we don't change our ways. This is the direction that it's going in. There obviously is some uncertainty, but I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me to wait until disaster occurs. Sure. Before we try to decide that it's actually happening and we should do something.
That is Desi Doyen. That is,
it will be too late.
That is Desi Doyen, Green News Report. It is my pleasure, sort of. It's getting a little rough once in a while, but these guys have been very, very cool in volunteering their time to be on my show. Desi, Brad, before we go back to Mark, stand by with your rebuttal, Mark. Anything else to add to what Desi said, Brad?
Well, I'm going to add to what I had to say. And we didn't get into this today. We did on today's Green News Report that documents have come out from the Heartland Institute, their efforts to not only discredit climate science, but to actually try and change the school curriculum for school children to convince them that global warming is a hoax. This is the Heartland Institute. Mark has spoken for them year after year. He says, do I have you right that you have received a total of $1,700 ever from the Heartland Institute, Mark?
Well,
I just want to get this on record.
Because I spoke in 2008, 9, 10, and 11. Oh, maybe I didn't. I can't remember. So it's either that or 20, you know, add another 1,000 to that or something like that.
So just a couple of thousand that you've received from the Heartland Institute, which... what's that?
I said, I wish it was a lot more.
Okay.
But you know, the memo you're referring to, Coke Industries came out and said they've only given $25,000 to Heartland Institute, not the hundreds of thousands. They're now acknowledging that the key document was faked in that. Other documents were tampered with. Andrew Revkin in the New York Times is backing off now, saying he's going to hold off writing until they figure out what's going on here. And the real question is, why?
They're not acknowledging that, Mark.
Well, they have acknowledged the one key document is fake. And there's other...
Heartland Institute has said that one key document was fake, although the information in that document was repeated in the other documents as well, right?
Right. It's a Dan Rather fake but accurate. It sounds right. No, not only that, but even other warmists, global warmists is what I call them, people, you know, the promoters of this, have come out and said the document has serious problems. And I'm telling you, even Andrew Revkin is acknowledging that from the New York Times.
Who has said that? Who has said that the documents have serious problems, Mark?
I have the name right. It's on my website. It is...
give him a second. You ask him a question. Let him come up with an answer. We're good.
Oh, 1 second. It's on the right column on my website. Let me get to it. Turn my fair play.
I'm horrible with names too, Mark. So I feel you. And you're way better at names.
I literally have posted 30 some stories on this, and my name is failing me.
Sure.
At any rate,
running out of time.
It's on there.
All right. Well,
it's true. I just can't think of the guy's name, but he does a major global warming website, and he came out and is questioning the site. Revkin has backed off, and I don't think anyone's even pushing that the main document is fake. There's other documents. I'm sure there's a lot of truth in there, but there's a lot of contention over it. But it's also a big yawn, the whole scandal. And if you go to Climate Depot, my entire website's devoted right now to the Heartland scandal. I'm a news type website.
I I don't know how that is a big yawn when that has, you know, broken about, I don't know, about 24, 48 hours ago. These documents came out. You said that they're all backing off of it, that they're claiming that this is a fake, that other people have as well. You can't quote those people. Andrew Revkin at the New York Times is looking in, as he should, as a journalist should, to make sure that, you know, documents are legitimate. But you paint with these broad brushes, you know, that everyone was saying in the 70s that the globe was cooling, that all of
I actually worded it carefully. And David Appel is the name. Sorry about that. The fake memo definitely looks suspicious. It stands out from the rest in its creation data only 2 days ago. It's a fact that it's scanned. And on other websites, being the Blackboard, other people are analyzing the creation source data of this website. It doesn't match that one key document that's by the most quoted. So that's the name, David Biello. David Appel, not David Biello. That's another one. Quark Soup is what he runs. And he has the whole thing on, and now analyzing the website, which I posted. Sorry,
hey guys,
I couldn't get that name sooner.
Well, stand by. I was talking to Ferris during our quick break, and you brought up an interesting point, Ferris. You know, we're not going to get 80-20 out of these guys, but
no.
But I'm kind of curious, and Desi, I need you on this too. Is there anything you think that you would agree? Is there even a middle ground? Because to me, global warming and then man-made global warming are two different arguments altogether. And I don't really ever see you even nodding, you know. Mark, is there anything from the global warming community that you agree with at all? Anything?
Well, I can't even agree with their solution. They're trying to mandate solar and wind power energy that doesn't work and that's proven failure to the exclusion of carbon-based energy, which has been one of the greatest liberators of mankind.
I
can't answer that. I don't think there's anything, you know, any chief point that I agree on, no.
You know, the ironic thing about solar energy, Mark, is none of us would be here without it. So how is it not working?
It's a boutique energy that's still well less than 1%, despite all the stimulus funds going into it, despite all the technological advancements. It ain't cutting it. And not only that, but in places like the Mojave Desert, it has the same imprint as the mining industry in terms of endangered species, in terms of land intensive land use.
Yeah.
Wind power, similar problems. Birds, it doesn't produce energy. It's a 12th, 13th century technology that we're trying to mandate. Carbon-based energy, one of the greatest liberators of mankind. We should still be praising it, not demonizing it.
All right. You know, quite a statement there, Mark. I'm in the free speech. Doesn't mean I agree with you there. We'll finish it up, you know, with what we feel in the studio here in a little while. But Desi, some final thoughts about why you're not going to agree. I already know you're not going to agree with anything Mark just said there. So give me your take.
I think it's important to separate the scientific evidence from the potential policy responses, which is where most people get hung up. They're afraid of what it means for their lifestyle. I can understand that totally, you know, but we already know that enough sun, again, that this is solar energy is the primary renewable resource that is available to us. It is free. It is infinite. It ain't going away, whereas we also have this problem with, you know, finite fossil fuels. And I would also point out that the current deployment of solar and wind and other renewable technologies has exploded in the last 4 or 5 years now that there has been some focus and finally some actual funding, whereas the fossil fuel industry is subsidized far more than the renewable energy industry is. And the fossil fuel industry is not responsible for paying for its externalities, the pollution that it causes, the billions of dollars in health problems that it causes, polluting our air, polluting our land, polluting our water. We can do better, and I think we would, if we could actually stop funding fossil fuels to the level that we do and actually focus on the free energy falling from the sky.
Brad?
Well, I think there's a lot I could agree with there.
Well,
subsidies, both ends.
Never mind. Go ahead, Brad. I need you to add something in there.
Well, Guy, if we're wrapping up, let me just say, you have said in the past, follow the money. Desi and I have no agenda here. We make absolutely no money, from reporting what we do. As a matter of fact, if we decided to join with Mark Morano in the denial industry, we'd be able to likely make hundreds of thousands, if not millions. But beware of those folks who paint with a broad brush. I'm looking at from Mark's website. He says that, you know, all these people are now calling it a fake. This link from Mark's own website to Dave Appel asking about the memo, being skeptical, which is perfectly appropriate. Everyone should be skeptical. I know that we certainly are, but he does not say that this document is a fake. And, you know, there's been a whole bunch of other facts that Mark has thrown out there that we haven't had time to respond to. These are all broad brushes. All I can say at the end of the day is, look who is paying Mark. Look at the type of money that he is making. Speaking of ideology, look where he comes from. Look at his background. He was, you know, right there on the ground floor trying to discredit John Kerry, calling him a coward, trying to discredit his war hero record. These are the folks who we're working with. Doesn't mean Mark is a bad guy, but just pay attention to who these people are and who their funding comes from. That's where Mark comes from. That's where he makes his living. And I suspect if there was information that came down from God that said man is causing global warming is happening at a rate that has never happened before, and it's due to man, it would be Mark's job not to question it, not to be skeptical about it, but to discredit it. That's how he makes his money. Keep that in mind when you're listening to this debate and, you know, deciding who has their facts in order.
Brad, well said. Mark, you got a couple more minutes here. Make your okay. It's not an official closing statement.
Yeah, that the skeptics are either A, well-funded in comparison, or that B, we're only speaking this because we get funded. I mean, if you look at the budget, the Heartland Institute's budget is $6.4 million a year. And, of course, my budget's in the hundreds of thousands, you know, in terms of low end of that for Climate Depot. My parent company has a lot more than that. But if you look at the other groups, Greenpeace, $300 million in 2010, World Wildlife Fund, $710 million, Pew Charitable Trust, $360 million, Sierra Club, $56 million. You go off in there, it's Big Green that has that kind of money. That doesn't include government grants to all to climate scientists, to other studies like this. National Academy of Sciences, which we heard earlier. And by the way, I alluded to it, but the National Academy of Science, $6 million from Congress, turned around, lobbied for a climate bill. This is not a scientific argument to say that the National Academy of Sciences governing board has a statement similar to the United Nations. That's science that, as Richard Lindzen, a National Academy of Science member, said, if Congress wants the National Academy of Science to declare global warming a problem, by golly, they paid them to do it. You know, I'm paraphrasing Richard Lindzen's quote there. So this is, you know, I don't think we would have a beef with this whole movement if the United Nations hadn't gotten involved in 1988 and politicized the science. The UN just looks at the science and reviews it. That's if you go back and look at what they've done. They've excluded scientists. I have a whole report on the scientists who've resigned from the UN in protest. People like Paul Reiter, who was a malaria expert, and said the UN wasn't interested in his views because it didn't fit their narrative. Hurricane experts like Chris Lancy, who did the same thing and protested and discussed. Roger Pilkey Sr., who resigned back in the first report, or at least with the report back in 1995, I believe it was, for the similar reason. You know, we have reports from scientists who they have, it's like a campaign group there, and these are partisan spokesmen. So the idea that somehow skeptics are out there and the other side is all truth is absurd. We're out there pointing out the inconvenient truths, and we're out there in the open debate. We're the ones that always like to debate. Al Gore's never debated. Gavin Schmidt of Real Climate debated one time, I believe, and then he said he would never debate again. James Hansen, as far as I've seen, has never debated. All these major figures avoid that kind of stuff because they don't want to get – they don't want their ideas challenged, and they go through years – without having their nonsense challenged.
All right, Brad.
I know that Desi wants to get in a word, but let me just throw this in quick. He once again did this generalization where he rattled off all the money that is received by the World Wildlife Fund and by Pew and so forth.
Skeptical.
You know, all of those
Mark.
All of those organ all of those organizations he named actually do things other than go out and, you know, make the case concerning global warming and man's role in it. They actually do things. That budget goes for things that they actually do. The budget that goes to Mark and his friends from the fossil fuel industry is meant to do one thing, and that is to question legitimate science, to put questions behind legitimate science and legitimate scientists who have been studying this for decades. There's every reason, as I've said, I'll say over and over again, there's every reason to question everything. One of the places you may want to start questioning is those people who make their living not by reporting on the science that they've devoted their careers to, but by specifically trying to go out and make a case that the fossil fuel industry wants them to make and pays them to make. Keep that in mind. That's all I ask.
All right, Desi, some closing words from you.
Sure. The fossil fuel industry, the top five oil companies made $1 trillion in profit between 2001 and 2007. 10 years, $1 trillion. Follow the money. And lastly, I'll just close with Upton Sinclair, the great muckraking journalist, said, never expect a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding it.
That's
all I'll say.
Very
interesting.
Yep.
For yourself.
And if you follow that, that applies 10 times, 100 times more to the global warmest side of this debate. When you have someone like James Hansen, the NASA scientist, who's just in so deep at this, he's made so many outrageous predictions, and his temperature predictions haven't come true. He's revised.
Put him on hold.
He's been accused of all kinds of things. They can't reverse.
Not true.
All right. You know, the debate was technically over. We were going to have people finish their final arguments, but here's what happened is he decided he wanted to go another round, and we're not going to go another round with this. I wanted people to just, you know, what my job here as a show host to do is allow free speech to take place, because it's not. And when people butt heads on an argument, that's okay. By the way, it makes very compelling radio to listen to from what I do for a living. It is very, very interesting, regardless of what side you're on. But what, again, I need to do as the show host is find a way to kind of bring the boiling water down to a simmer, and that's why we can bring Mark back on. I'm not trying to be rude to him. I am trying to control my show.
Thank you for not cursing.
Okay.
he's a conservative, remember?
Well,
come on now.
Well, you know, it's funny about conservatives. They do all the cursings when the camera's off.
I was going to say, I curse in private. I don't like to do it publicly.
Exactly. But listen, Mark, your website real quick, and a documentary you want to send people
to? Well, the documentary is not. I mean, it's 12 years old now. But
okay.
It's called Amazon Rainforest, Clear Cutting the Mist. I do have references to it on Climate Depot, but the website's climatedepot.com. I consider myself the other side of the story, and as a journalist covering
sure.
it.
So. Sure, absolutely. Desi, one more time, you mentioned two websites. Let's turn our listeners on to those as well.
Two websites, that's the Primary Scientific Literature, realclimate.com, and skepticalscience.com.
Yeah, we're losing your cells. Before we lose you completely, Desi, let me thank you so much for being part of my show. I know things got a little heated there, but let me tell you, as a radio show host, that made for some compelling arguments, and I thank you so much for being on my show. I'd love to have you back, okay?
Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
All right, we're going to have to cut her off because that battery is just dying on her phone. Brad, buddy, we're gonna say goodbye to you. We'll talk to you next week. Anything just real quick before you want to say goodbye?
No, just thanks for having me. Thanks for having Mark, and thanks for having the discussion. I'll be back with you, I hope, anyway. If I haven't been fired, I'll be back next week. And I'll get some information from you, Scott, about how to get in touch with Mark Morano. And I've got some radio shows of my own coming up, and maybe we can get Mark on
there
with some actual scientists to have this conversation.
Absolutely, Brad. Love it. Thank you so much for your contribution. You are not fired. We just made an intro for you this week.
Yeah, we love you, Brad.
We
There's
love
no
you.
Way.
Dude, we love you, dude. We love you, okay? Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brother. Talk to you later.
All right. And, Mark, I will say this. You know, you make by the way, you're very good at what you do. You make a very compelling argument. I would love to talk to you more. Not that I'm convinced one way or the other. I have a tendency to lean a little bit towards what the universe is doing rather than, you know, SUVs. But I also will say this. Every square meter where I live in Florida gets hit with 800 watts of solar power per square meter per hour. everywhere, every day. And to sit there and talk about solar energy is... What did you say solar energy was?
Boutique energy. That actually...
In terms of its current form, let's be clear. I'm not opposed to investigating new technologies. I'm not opposed... And solar... It has the chance probably for the greatest breakthrough in the future, but I don't think it's ready for prime time. We're putting the cart before the horse right now as we're banning coal plants. We're trying to ban pipelines and trying to stop fracking and natural gas.
Good.
You know, it shouldn't be at the exclusion of it, but at the same time, it shouldn't be funded to the point where you have all these companies failing on mandates because they're not producing what they're supposed to. It's not ready yet, unfortunately.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we have you back and we'll talk fracking and we'll talk solar energy, and then we'll have a different discussion. How's that sound?
Absolutely. The key thing on energy right now is natural gas with fracking has revolutionized energy. We're going to be the U.S. will be the energy net exporter of liquefied natural gas. It is the greatest story to be told, and it all came about almost unforeseen by new technology. It's a huge success story.
You know, what's funny is very few people use natural gas in their cars.
And that's actually Senator Inhofe is a big proponent of natural gas powered cars because people who have natural gas in their home can easily convert a natural gas station into their garage to fuel up their cars, and it's a very clean burning fuel comparatively speaking. So that there's a lot of areas we probably could end up agreeing on, which probably wouldn't be a good idea. I don't like agreeing with people.
Oh, I can tell, and I would talk to the people who have natural gas pouring out of their faucets right now that they can light on fire, and some of the earthquakes that have taken place across our great country when it comes to fracking. But we'll hold that argument to another day. How's that sound? Listen, I had to get a little rough with you. I know you're a conservative. This is a free speech zone. Free speech means we can use any language we want, and the only reason I had to be, it was because, dude, you were bum rushing my show. And,
no problem.
Okay.
I'm a little wounded, but I'll get over it. Thank
okay.
You.
And you were a great guest. I loved having you. Thank you for taking your time. We'll talk to you via email. We'd love you to come back because, honestly, Mark, I know you're a conservative, and I would love to have a conservative take on this show.
To answer that, you keep saying conservative. I'm very sympathetic to Ron Paul, even Ron Paul's foreign policy, although I think I'm not quite as far as him on foreign policy. I like Pat Buchanan's foreign policy of America First. I don't know if I'm not a traditional conservative.
Yeah, you're a conservative.
Yeah. Well, if it's between Ron Paul and Pat Buchanan, you're a conservative. Yeah.
Pat Buchanan's foreign policy.
All right, listen.
America First. We're non-interventionist. I think we would end up agreeing if that's where you agree on foreign policy.
Well, there's another conversation we can have, but I'll tell you what, we got to say goodnight. But listen, we'll be in touch, and we'd love to have you back.
Sure.
All right, Mark Morano, find him at the websites, the aforementioned. Let's go to you, Rob Revere. We'll have a chance to go around the studio a little bit, get your take on what took place there.
Two talking heads going against one another.
It's good fucking radio, though.
Well, yeah, it was good radio. There's no doubt about it. But you saw the art and the craft used against one another.
Yes.
You know, you can get somebody on the telephone and you can do that to them all day long. And it takes a talent to be able to do that. And obviously, both of them, or all three of them, are very passionate about which side they're from. I mean, this guy just said, fracking. The new America.
I know.
Okay, which is, you know what? I want to hear that, but all I've heard so far are pretty shitty things, such as it's wastewater, it's pretty shitty. It's
the chemicals that they pump down into the ground all come back in the water, and 99% of it's water. The other 1% are acidic chemicals used to, it's like slate that they're blowing through.
And that comes back up into our aquifers.
It bubbles all back into
aquifers. I'd rather have a pipeline coming through, such as the Keystone Pipeline.
Individual states' rights, I think, is what we're going to see Ferris when fracking, because most people don't care what's going on in Wyoming unless they live in Wyoming.
Absolutely.
I think that's what fracking is.
I'm a big states' rights guy, too, I'm all for that. But, I'll tell you, Mike is great.
Mark.
Yeah. Mark Morano is great. Yep. Clearly, well-read and studied in his view.
Yes.
I was with him a great proportion of the time.
Right
but
up till the end.
Well, once he said boutique energy, said, wow, that is a politicized term.
Big time.
And if you say boutique energy to me, now you automatically go into that column of slick guys that have an agenda.
Here's the boutique energy that created every life form on this planet. And by the way, the so-called fossil fuels you're burning were once alive. And guess where their energy came from, too?
And if you had your house
It came from the sun.
If you had
the boutique sun 93 right. million miles away, boutiquing planet Earth with life.
Right, but that's not to discredit everything he said. I mean, there were certain things that
He's
talking
about
agreed
the silica
with.
And the effectiveness of solar panels versus their cost, versus their output,
right. and he's
versus
right.
their longevity. Well, that's what I call controlling the market.
Right, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
but we're not there yet because we don't want to be there in certain aspects.
Well, there's a lot of people out where I live in Brooksville who actually get paid from the electric company each month
net
because of the solar panels that they have.
Net metering, it's called.
Yep.
Yeah. And it only became legal here in the state of Florida a couple of years ago. It was like, I remember reading about it when I started looking into solar. And in the state of Florida, well, not that it's cheap to do this, but you can put 20 kilowatts up on your house of solar
right.
panels. That's the amount you can.
Well, we have acreage, so some people have
you
them
can't
in
put
their yards.
You're not allowed to put more than 20 kilowatts.
I see.
So, in other words, if you're using 2 kilowatts, you can sell 18 kilowatts back a day and make money. But they don't want you turning into a small solar company.
Right.
So they cap you at 20.
That's exactly why they do that.
Exactly. So, but it's called net metering. You're absolutely right, Rob. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a boutique energy.
Boutique.
Yeah.
They're getting paid, though.
I have a postcard of a town in Germany that Rachel Dahl, she works for Solar Source. We had her on
yeah,
one night.
Yeah, I heard her. Yeah, she was great.
She showed me the actual postcard of a town in Germany that is completely, every building, southern exposure building, because it's northern hemisphere, because that's where the sun is on the southern exposure, just covered in solar panels. The entire town is completely off the grid.
Yeah, but you think about the hum your computer makes, just the noise around you. And when you turn everything off, like when the power goes out during a national emergency or just a bad storm here in the summertime here in Florida, how serene it is and how different it is. I mean,
unless it's 100 degrees and then you're sweating your balls off.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But solar energy, when you go look at a place like that that's filled with solar energy, mm-hmm. imagine taking a bath, or not a bath, but a shower, and just feeling that hot water and knowing that that was actually done by your son and not by mm-hmm. big corporations that are building another nuke plant.
Oh, yeah.
Where's this one? In Georgia?
I'm sure it's going to be in Georgia? I'm sure in Mark's version, nuclear energy is the energy of the future. It's not boutique.
I live 35 miles away from the Crystal River nuclear plant.
Lucky you.
Yeah, like, why? Because I go quicker
Well, it's
than
not
you?
Up and running, but they want to spend $1 billion to fix it. They want to spend $1 billion. You imagine what $1 billion
you could have a solar farm, yeah.
Oh, you could have $1 billion? That would buy you acres and acres and acres of solar farms. But no, we'd rather fix one reactor from the 70s.
You could have a solar and wind farm on the same land.
Yes.
To put that in layman's terms for me, $1 billion would give us a few. How many acres of solar panels? And my question is how much energy would that produce versus? And I'm not. I don't want the Crystal River nuclear plant mm-hmm. to get back up and running. Yeah. Trust me, I live close enough that I'm dead too. What would be the energy production difference between the two?
See, the funny thing is about solar energy and the large. If you're thinking large scale, you're not thinking the shit on your house,
right.
on the back roof. You're thinking we're making energy for an entire city. Solar panels are not efficient. They're only 10% efficient. 90% of the energy hitting them never gets used. When you get into concentrated solar energy, which is what I'm into, you get efficiency rates over 30%.
Because you're able to store the energy.
Well, you're able to gather it more intensely and use more of it, but then you're able to store it. They use like liquid salt to store it under the ground. But here's an example. 100 miles by 100 miles in the Arizona desert. You take that, that's 1,000 square miles. You use concentrated solar energy in that 1,000 square miles, and you power the entire country.
Holy shit.
And that's not solar panels. That's
CSP.
There's
a lot of empty land out
yes.
there.
Yes.
I've driven across this country, and I've seen how much, open land. I live in Brooksville. Do you know how much open land is in Brooksville?
Look at, FPL and the other Florida power companies have put 3 solar plants up in Florida, but they're solar panels. Those are the dark black
right.
panels that turn direct sunlight into direct electricity. And they're only 10% effective. So in other words, 90% of the energy hitting it is bouncing off. You change the technology and go with either a trowel system, a power tower, or solar dishes, and suddenly you're grabbing 33, 32, 31% of the same energy, the same amount of acreage, and now you're producing 3 times the megawatts. So it's not, when you say solar energy, don't just think solar panels.
And that's why he calls it a boutique energy source, is because solar panels are made of silica, and silica is expensive. It's refined. It's super refined sand is really what it is. It's pure. There's no dirt. There's nothing in it. Very Silica Valley. You ever hear of Silica Valley?
Yeah.
It's a very expensive product, and that's why the cost of solar panels are so expensive. Eventually, they're looking for different ways to gather the sunlight, use smaller amounts of silica in larger areas to gather the light and focus. They're still refining the process. So when he says boutique energy, he's talking about the actual solar panels, the actual, you know, 80-watt panel. You see it's about this big.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the technologies are constantly evolving. But she was right saying they're not getting the investment dollars. Every time you turn on a Google website, solar energy goes belly up. So, because, well, guess what?
But they did get dollars before they went belly up.
Well, a specific one, Solyndra did. And by the way, they went belly up before the election, and Barack Obama didn't want to announce it until after the election.
And actually, they were going belly up when they got the money in the first place.
Yes.
And they thought that was going to be enough to help them, but they never should have. That was just a bad company.
It's kind of like the impetus is there to want to change, but big fossil fuel is going to hold it back. Big fossil fuels isn't going to go, wow, solar energy, let's shift 40% of our investment dollars there. What are they going to do? Cut themselves in the throat? What they would do.
They gave plenty of money to GE, though, for their wind technology.
You know why? Because GE owns the wind turbine technology.
Yep.
That's why. They fund their own moneymakers.
What it reminds me of big tobacco. And how they lobby the FDA. In April, it'll be 1 year of me not smoking cigarettes and me smoking the e-cig.
Oh.
And haven't had a cigarette, since April.
Yep.
And now they want to classify the e-cigarettes as a tobacco product, which means it puts big tobacco, like the people that make Marlboro, that's who you're going to be going to buy your e-cigs if you want to go there.
Well, won't that mean you have to pay a tax stamp on
it,
too?
Yes, you would have to pay the tobacco tax, exactly. So, but that's where I'm going here. It ties into, it's a direct correlation to, you look at the alternative energies and when they, you know, they put their money in and how they want change or what they do, who's going to take it over and where's it going to go?
It's not going to go until it becomes cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and it'll only become cheaper until you become, it's like a car factory. If you build them one at a time in your garage,
you think
they're going
to
be
expensive.
You start building mass giant factories to produce solar panels, what do you think the cost of solar panels is going to do?
What about what the guy Mark said? Do you think that natural gas really could be the future? Or is that all bullshit?
Those are all the past, and fracking is still the past, too. It's just a new way to do it where they really don't give a fuck about the environment.
Instead they're like, let's do it, fuck it.
All fracking is drilling horizontally.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right.
It's not a vertical.
No wonder
you drill a vertical well, then you go horizontal, and then you crack the earth, and it vibrates, well, what we call earthquakes.
Everything's shaking.
And next thing you know, you have natural gas pouring out of your faucet, and that is natural. What's up, Frank?
Well, I wanted to ask this when he mentioned it earlier. Isn't that wasn't it Rob who brought up the deer that they found like next to the lake, that it was covered in tumors?
Yeah.
Was that from fracking?
Supposedly some of the water that they were using was running off into a river where this deer were known to drink from, and it was dead right there near the river.
It's gonna be
on the bank.
Fracking is going, you're going to hear more and more people talk about it again because it's in Jersey and New York State. There's issues with it right now. Ohio's having their issues. Was it Arkansas where the earthquakes took place? We've already seen, is it not gas?
Tennessee, too.
Not Gas Hole. That's the other.
Gasland.
Gasland is the documentary about fracking. And it went into Montana and some different, out west where they were already doing this. And basically, you know, what happens if you're sitting on 100 acres of land, you're broke, some natural gas company says, hey, we'll stroke you a check for $200,000. You're out of debt. You're out of, you know, boom. And next thing you know, you turn around and you find out they're contaminating the well that you used to drink out of. And people are having regrets. I've seen some documentaries now and news reports where the people that signed away their land to these fracking companies are saying, I had no idea, and now I'm regretting it.
And don't they lease it? Like, usually when they do that,
they're paid up
front.
Right, they're paid up front, and they can't ask them to leave until their term's up. That's the problem.
So then they destroy it, and they leave and wash their hands.
Good radio, though. Thank you, Mark Morano. And, of course, thank you so much to Brad Friedman and his friend.
Desi.
Yeah, it's not that they're dating or anything. quiet pause to make an effect.
It worked.
No. Come on. You got to bust them a little. I mean, there's pictures on their green report where they're posing together and they're like kind of hugging and stuff. So, you know, it's just
an implied hug.
Well, yeah. She's leaning in. I think he's getting some side boob on his elbow.
A good photo.
He's right. Getting side boob on his elbow.
Listen, we've all seen photos of you and Rob Revere hugging, so there's no.
I do kind of have a fucking man crush on him. Lovely. Let's get to Eric. Eric, you know, Eric's the most dedicated 840 double toke man there is, because Eric will sit on hold.
He's the anchor man.
Sorry.
Are you even? I mean, how can you possibly be still standing upright? There's no way you've been waiting this long to hit it.
I've been pre-partying for tomorrow too.
Attaboy. You're getting here about 6, right?
Yeah, that's what Rick told me, 6. And if Rob wants to give me a shout, I'm not heading back that way towards that end of the night. I'm not going back till Saturday. But if he wants to email me or give me a call, I mean, I can pick him up, and I got a hotel room over there, 2-bedroom.
No, that's all right, man. That just means I got to take it easy tomorrow.
Yeah, he's gonna
get it. That's all that means.
That's good, man. I wanted to give the offer. I wanted to extend the offer, but I'm not planning on driving to Orlando. No, back to Orlando tomorrow night, man.
I got it.
All right, pick out a tune. We'll get ready to go to break in a couple of minutes here. But Eric, take a couple of 840 doubles for us a little, if you would.
All right, let's go.
But he's not sure if he wants to cough or not.
Oh man, that's great.
What did you did he just shart?
No, I think he just went triple Lindy and didn't even miss a beat. Yep. Told you.
That was a speed triple.
There it is. Get your breath back.
How can you even be functionable after 3?
I know.
That was like actually number like 24.
But who's counting? Yeah. All right, Eric, give us a little of your Orlando third eye wisdom.
All right, a little bit of this is going to be marking out. But anyway, is it better to die alone in the street or humble yourself in warm sheets? A moral yet actual question. Is it better to kiss ass and follow or leave the rest to wallow? Do I sense hesitation? Clear your ass for digestion. Fellow suit and great shoes, truth be told, not sold, choose to be cognitive in nature, be blinded by rapture. It's your call to see through it, so here's the deal. You have thinkers, not leaders, to help on your journey, so here's Ledge, Rick, Rob Ferris, to put your shit on a gurney. For knowledge this fast can turn your face blue. But hey, bro, it's cool. That's what we got to do. Woo!
Man, yeah. Just nails it. And you're right, Mark and I always get you airtime. Always.
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow night. Drive safe on the way over here, okay?
All right. Awesome. I'll see you guys tomorrow, man.
All right, Eric. James, stand by. We'll get to you on the other side of the break, and we'll let you bring in that tag team. We'll be bringing Tina in. We're going to start talking about, though Thursday's officially known as Full Frontal, the actual 2 hours of sex talk needs a name. And she's going to be doing it much like Sean Raspatello's booking guest. Tina's going to be, you know, doing her part to get us with show ideas, work on provocative, fun, playful, erotic. I'm using her words, and deeply arousing, I might add. Those are her words. And I just want to have fun. Once, you know, think about this. That was great fucking radio. Those guys were great. They brought it. I just sat back, and other than shouting over each other, I would have sat back and just let it go, but I can't let that happen. But, I mean, who doesn't want to talk about sex? Other than maybe my sister, the nun. I think that's the only person on the planet that I know that would never talk about sex. So we need a name for it. And she has a couple. You had one on the DC page. Go to the post. You'll see that Tina Marie put it up there. And she's looking for your input. We'll get her on the phone, and we'll... I love brainstorming sessions back and forth, especially on air. Sometimes you hit radio gold. Sometimes you just mumble something and you go, wait a minute, that's good.
Tina's looking for your input.
There you go. See?
All right, guys. Three and a half or a quarter? Input, Jack. Nobody.
Oh, I know.
No, I thought you were going. I thought you were going Mick Ultra Can there.
Nice save.
All right, man. Coming back. Hour number three of Dangerous Conversation. Rob Revere in the studio. Ferris, that yep. is Super Rick. Frank the Intern, I'm Ledge, and your phone calls at 185 live on I.O.
Can you think of a better way to hide the truth?
More dangerous conversation after these words on Bubba Army Radio.
It is an epic.
There's romance.
I'm even starting to think that Hulk Hogan is hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hero's journey.
I don't ever want to drink Jack Daniels again in my life.
There's comedy.
I made a lot of money hating people.
Something about him that's yummy.
My body's a wonderland.
And lots of cool fights.
Gordo is just abusing the large big man Augie.
The gods have a plan for you.